We got a church potluck sign up, and then the Bible senior Bible camp sign up to help with a couple out, well, 4 hours for 4 days. Just be afternoon for 4 days for senior camp coming up. I forgot to mention that earlier, so we'll pass these babies around. Title of the message this morning is Exceeding Wise. Exceeding Wise. We went over that verse in Sunday school, but Exceeding Wise. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Knowledge, or knowledge as some of us call it. Knowledge is facts or information and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. That's knowledge. The theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. That's knowledge. That's head knowledge. That's what we know. But wisdom is the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom, we can have be the smartest guy in the world, but if we don't know how to apply it, we're done. My dad always told the story of the, if I can get it right, just come to mind here, about the passengers in the airplane. And there was a hippie, Henry Kissinger, a priest, and then those are three in the airplane, and then the pilot. And the one engine went, and the other engine went, and so it's glide and a glide path, and the pilot comes back and says, "Hey, we got something going. The plane is going down, and someone has to file a report with the FAA, and that's me." See, the reason I'm telling you this is there's four people here, and there's only three parachutes, so I need a parachute for the FAA so I can file a report. He grabs his parachute and jumps, and then Henry Kissinger, he says, "Well, they're looking at the backpack, two left, three guys, they're looking at him." Henry Kissinger says, I'm the smartest guy in the world. I need the backpack because the world needs me. Or I need the parachute because the world needs me." So he grabs a parachute and jumps. So there's one parachute left. The priest looks at the young kid. He says, "You know what, son?" He says, "I apologize." He says, I've led a good life. I know God has purpose and that and that." And he says, "You're young. You need to live. You take the last parachute." And the kid says, "Hey, man, don't worry about it." He says, "The smartest guy in the world just grabbed my backpack." So we get wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And we're going to look here at, well, James chapter 1, verse 5 says this: if any of us here this morning lack wisdom, what should we do? Well, the Bible tells us, James says, let him ask of God. If we lack knowledge, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. God wants us to be wise. God wants us to apply knowledge so that we can have a better, gooder, godly life. A good godly life. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. The first verse says, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. Why in the world would we go through these names? Because a lot of people think Agur is Solomon. Some people think that Agur is not Solomon. It doesn't matter. We could speculate for days and weeks and months and never get anywhere. But The word agar means gathered. Gathered. I believe it was probably Solomon. But this man gathered the things of the Lord. Gathered. Agar is gathered. Jacob, the son of Jacob. Jacob means to obey. So after this man gathered, we could apply it then that the word Jacob is to obey. And he says the man spaketh unto Ithiel. Ithiel means God has arrived. God has arrived. How has God arrived this morning? 2,000 years ago, God Almighty sent His Son Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. His name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And God has arrived. And Jesus Christ came to earth to live a sinless life and then to die for our sins. God has arrived, and then Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, died and was buried for 3 days and three nights and then rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. And now God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ has gone to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is coming again. God has arrived. And we see Ukal here. Ukal is devoured. Devoured. We here that can be devoured by sin this morning. We can be devoured by troubles and trials and tribulations of this life this morning if we don't apply the knowledge that God's given to us in a proper manner. We can kill ourselves if we don't see things for what they are, for how God wants us to see them. These words here in Proverbs chapter 30 are instruction. These things are useful and they are profitable, especially if we are like Jacob and obey. Let's read verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 30. No, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. There be three things which... four things are exceeding wise. And this morning, we're going to look at these four creatures and see if we can apply these things to our lives, these principles to our lives, that we can become exceeding wise. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we ask You to be with us this morning. I pray You wash me clean, Lord, and I pray that this message be Your message. Dear God, help us learn. Help us to love You that much more. Help us to be thankful for what You've done for us. And help us once again to be wise that we can glorify You, Lord. We can glorify You and do good works. That we can be honoring and live an honoring life to You, Lord. Forgive us for going backward day after day, Lord. And please help us. Please help us be the people You want us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Verse 25. You know, I hate to say this, but whenever I think of ants, and I've already shared this story, there's one story that comes to mind, and that's when we were just little kids. We were probably, 4 or 5 years old, and my little brother Charlie was only about 3 years old. And he was a complainer, the little brother. He complained about everything. And so here's this, I'm tired. Oh, here, Charlie, here's a chair for you. Come here, Charlie. So me and my twin brother, we brought Charlie to a chair so that he could sit on and have some rest. Come here, Charlie. And we set him on this little mound. A red ant pile. Wow. He come off of there. crying and screaming and going like this. And he was red from head to toe with ant bites. And by the time my dad got done with us two kids, us twins, we were red on the behind. Ants. We used to take grasshoppers. Anybody done this? You take the legs off a grasshopper, the rear legs and the wings, you throw them in an ant pile and watch what happens. Oh boy, all of a sudden, shoo! It's a smorgasbord for those ants. And they grab that ant and they start biting him and whatnot, and then pretty soon, that grasshopper, and then pretty soon they drag him in a big hole up toward the top, one of the holes up toward the top. An ant can carry up to 50 times its weight. An ant will go 100 yards for food, which is equivalent to us walking 5 miles for food. 50 times in weight, that'd be like a 200-pound man carrying 5 tons. That's strong. Besides mankind, an ant is the only other creature known to farm out other animals. When you see ants crawling up a fruit tree or a deciduous tree, guess what? You got aphids. You follow them, and they're farming those aphids, and the little aphids get in the tree there, and it's the ants protect the aphids, and they move them around so they're out of the sun and out of the weather, and then the aphids sit there and suck the life out of your tree. But I'm not bitter. They suck the life out of your tree, and the ants come, and I didn't know this until just how they get the honeydew. They stroke the backs of the aphids, and then the aphids produce a drop of honeydew, and that's what the ants then feed off of. So they farm out aphids. The ants are pretty smart. Another passage in the Bible is Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So here's two passages in the Bible where we go to the ant, or look at the ant, to be wise in Proverbs chapter 6. But here, to be exceeding wise, we see in verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare meat in the winter. The principle here is that the ant is diligent. Let's repeat that. The principle is the ant is diligent. They're diligent in planning. Fourth grade at Mrs. Thomas's room at Central School, we had an ant farm. One of those gallon jugs, and you put the black paper around. How many have done that? And then you put the ants in there, and you open up the black paper, and here's all these tunnels. They start out with just a chunk of dirt. And all of a sudden, they're diligent. It doesn't take them very long to start having a farm and doing the things that ants do. They're diligent in planning. They're diligent in preparing. Once again, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. The ant is diligent in planning for the winter time. I remember in second or third grade, a buddy, boy, it's sure going to be a hard winter this year. How do you know? Oh, because look at that guy. Look how big that guy's woodpile is. Well, now how does he know? But still in all, that guy was diligent in planning for a hard winter, but the ant is diligent in planning for the winter. Diligent in planning, diligent in preparation. And it says here, look at verse 25, the ants are a people. Oh my goodness, there's some kind of a sci-fi movie going on here. No. The ants are a people. People means a congregated unit, a group, or team. The ants are a team. And they're diligent as a people. How many have taken a stick and stirred up an ant pile? Okay, you stir up an ant pile, and what happens? There's 3 ants, and 3 of them are moving the sticks here and there, and there's about 300 of them standing in a circle going like this. Huh? No. There is not one ant watching. You stir up a pile, and boy, have you ever wondered, do they pass out diplomas, or do they pass out, this is in your job description? Can you imagine all these ants coming? Okay, this is your job description. You're in charge of the eggs when somebody puts a stick in the wood pile. In the ant pile. Okay, now you're in charge of the little twigs when somebody comes to the ant. Now you're in charge of the little itty bitty rocks. How do they know what they're doing? But when you stir up an ant pile, you got ants taking care of the eggs, pulling them out of there. You got some ants with the twigs. Sometimes there's a bigger twig and you got four or five ants. What determines this ant to carry an egg and not carry a twig? I don't know. God knows. God's put it in every individual ant in that colony to take care of what he's supposed to do. And the ants are diligent. When you stir up an ant pile, everybody's working as a people, as a congregated unit, as a team to get the job done. To carry the eggs away from danger, to get the twigs back where they should be, to get the holes where they're supposed to be. They work like nobody's business as a people. None of them are watching. They're all busy. And what can we learn from the ant? How can we be exceeding wise from a little old ant this morning? It's a principle of diligence, and we apply it this way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, Paul says, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, bearing one another in love. Every one of us are to bear, put up with one another in love. It's easy for us to put up with some than others. Hello? We don't give each other enough grace. We should be, every one of us should be working as a unit, as a team with one goal in mind, and that's not to rebuild the ant pile. One goal in mind, and that's to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world, because all the world this morning is lying in sin. Jesus Christ said, for I've not come to condemn the world. The world is condemned already. And a man or woman, boy or girl, without Jesus Christ who dies will go to hell. Why? Because we're born in sin. The last couple months in this church, I don't know what it is, but it seems like we've hit a log jam and everything's building up. Have we lost compassion this morning for the lost? When was the last time we prayed for someone who did not know Christ as Savior? When was the last time we wept? When was the last time we cried over someone not knowing Jesus as Savior? Forbearing one another, putting up with one another, because we got something higher, we got a higher calling. Our vocation, every one of us here, like I said in Sunday school, every one of us here are in full-time ministry. We have different vocations, but every one of us are in full-time ministry. Endeavoring, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What can we learn from the ant this morning? Diligently working together. The principle of diligence. That's how we become exceeding wise, is we look at the ant and see how diligent they are. And we become diligent and work as a people, as a group, promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. The conies. This is another animal who's exceeding wise. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in rocks. What in the world is a coney? A coney is a rock rabbit. I did not know what a rock rabbit was until 20 years ago, my dad, he grew up in Browning Glacier Park, and he wanted to take one more trip to the Salamander Glacier. And so you go to Mini Glacier Hotel, and you walk a couple miles and pass that Lake Josephine, I think it is, and you walk another 4 or 5 miles up to the Salamander Glacier. And here's this little mouse-looking thing with funny-looking ears. And I said, what in the world is that? That looks like a cross between a chipmunk and a guinea pig. And my dad says, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. That's a coney. A what? A coney. It's a little rock rabbit. And they are. They look, if you put a mouse and a chipmunk and a rabbit and a guinea pig all in a blender and mixed them all up, you'd come out with a coney. Or a pika. They call them pikas. There are 30 species of conies around the world, only 2 in Western North America. It says here, the pika is known for sending up a shrill whistle and diving into a hiding place. Everybody's ears should perk up. The pika is known for sending a shrill whistle, and diving into a hiding place when it spots a predator, such as a hawk or eagle. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 5 reads, and the coney, because he cheweth the cud but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. The high hills, Psalm chapter 104, are for wild goats, and the rocks for conies. These little rock rabbits that are about yay big. What is a principle that we can learn from the coney this morning to become exceeding wise? Verse 26, the conies are but a feeble folk. The conies have no offense. They don't go out starting fights. They're not a predatory animal. They have no defense. What do? The pika is known for sending a shrill whistle and diving into a hiding place when it spots a predator. Here we can learn the principle of dependence. Dependence. Dependent upon the cleft of the rock to hide in. Dependent upon the cleft of the rock to get away from danger. Dependent upon the cleft of the rock. Dependent upon the rock itself as a defense that they might save their life. Psalm chapter 62, verse 7 reads, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of refuge. We can apply it to ourselves this morning as believers. And talk it, 1 Corinthians, it talks about Moses and the Israelites coming across the wilderness. And it says they drank that spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Jesus Christ. We as believers have some place to run to when we get into trouble. And His name is Jesus Christ. And if we look at the pika, if we look at the coney, when they get into trouble, they run and they dive into the rock. They are dependent upon Jesus Christ. Psalm 62, verse 7 reads, in God is my salvation and the rock of my strength. He's our salvation. He's our Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's only one place to go to get rid of our sin. The Bible declares that sin is not allowed in heaven. And so there's only one place to go, and that's the cleft of the rock. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through Jesus Christ we get our sins forgiven and we have eternal life. How do we get eternal life? How do we get our sins forgiven? God has made it so easy. He's made it as easy as a little chipmunk deal running into a crevice. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Knowing that we're sinners, Jesus is the only one that can forgive sin. Cry out. Go to the Lord and cry out, "Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me my sins. I trust you to forgive me and take me to heaven." Once again, those of us who are saved, we might find ourselves like Eucal in verse 2, verse 1, and become devoured with life's problems, with decisions, dumb decisions, that all of us are prone to. Mistakes, tribulations, health issues. We might find ourselves at wit's end with nowhere to turn. Turn to Jesus Christ, look to the coney, and turn to Jesus Christ and run and hide in Him. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Oh, I gotta love this song. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide thyself in thee. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Just like the coney, we need to hide ourselves in Jesus Christ. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. From the coney, we can learn the principle of dependence this morning. Look at verse 27 of Proverbs 31. The locusts have no king, yet they forth all of them by bands. A swarm of locusts can include billions of insects. A swarm can encompass 400 square miles at one time. One locust can eat its weight in plants every day. Can you imagine eating 155 pounds of salad? No, thank you. But a locust can. Locusts travel long distance. They've been known to fly from Africa to England. I've never seen a locust swarm. Has anyone seen a locust swarm in here? I have. You have? You have? But I can imagine it be like a bunch of blackbirds when you look at blackbirds in the fall when they're getting together and there's hundreds of them. And it's amazing. They move. They just move together. And I mean, they don't scatter, that they move and all as one unit. And I imagine that's what a flock of locusts would be. We see locusts mentioned in Exodus chapter 10 as one of the plagues of Egypt. What principle can we learn today from the locust? The principle we can learn from the locust is that mankind, every one of us has a choice to obey. Every one of us has a choice to obey. But the locusts, they have no choice. They just do what they got to do when they do it. They don't ask questions. They swarm because they swarm. They eat because they eat. It's their duty to do what God's put in their head, and they do it when God wants them to. We look at this locust this morning, and we see the principle of duty. There's no king, there's no leader, there's no general. They just do as a swarm what God wants them to do. With application this morning, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ is talking with the apostles. And then Jesus Christ is ascended into heaven. And it says in Acts chapter 1 verse 10, "And they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up to you into heaven shall also come in likewise manner." We can be exceeding wise like the locust this morning, doing what we're supposed to do out of a sense of duty, instead of like the apostles gazing up in heaven. A lot of times I think we spend a lot of time gazing, wondering what it will be like. And so these apostles were looking into heaven, and they were already told what to do and where to go and be witnesses throughout Israel and throughout all the world, and yet they caught themselves standing up gazing, not moving, looking up. And it finally took two men in white apparel, two angels, and said, "Why ye gaze? Why are you standing there gazing up?" This same Jesus is coming again. And this same Jesus is still coming again. And so in the meantime, we're not to be standing, gazing up, doing with our arms crossed, doing nothing. We're not supposed to be in a circle like, not unlike those ants that would be sitting in a circle while others do the work. Every one of us has a purpose. Every one of us has a job. And if we want to be exceeding wise, we take this time that God gives us before He comes back, and out of a sense of duty, we work till Jesus comes. We see the principle of duty when we look at the locusts here. Finally, in verse 28, verse 24, "These four things be are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise." And in verse 28, it says, "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." When we were kids, we used to take grasshoppers. We're pretty tough on grasshoppers. and we'd pull the legs off those once again, and we'd put them in a spider's web. How many have done that? Yeah. And then what happens? That spider comes running out. Now, to us, it's sticky, but that spider, she can come right out there without getting stuck on her own web. She rushes out there, grabs the... This it's really a sight to see. Grabs that, like on a spit, a grasshopper, grabs it with two things, and he's got the web coming out of her hind end there, and she's got them other legs, and she's spinning that grasshopper with a two or four legs, and she's got the other two other legs going like this with the web, and she rolls that, just like a fishing reel, rolls that grasshopper up just like this. And here's that grasshopper then in a straitjacket like a mummy. And she pulls it over her side and attaches it to the web up here, crawls back in her hole, waits for the next one. It's amazing. Have you seen that, Dave? Yeah, you're going, wow. And it happens lickety-split. We see here in verse 28, here's some facts about spiders. They don't have an antenna, which insects do. They're found on every continent of the world except Antarctica, including Rick D'Amato's house. Believe it or not, Rick, the average house has 30 spiders. Whether we like it or not. It says here, "The spider taketh hold with her hands in his king's palaces." They take hold with their hands. They spin a fine thread. That web is just amazing. And what else can a spider do? They build a web. You can park your car and come back out to the car in a couple hours, and there's a web. How do they do that? It's amazing. You can take a web down, and the next morning it's back up. All in its intricacy, little geometric pattern. When you're walking down a trail, you have to say, "Oh, It was a spider web. Otherwise, those people behind you think you are a moron. Walking. It was a spider web. How do they do that? How do they? I think that the wind blow them over. I don't know. But they can span 10, 15, 20 feet. It is amazing. God's creatures. The principle this morning is found in this verse here. It says, the spider taketh hold her hands and is in king's palaces. He's a spider, whether it be in a palace or poor person's house, it doesn't matter. She builds the same web. She eats the same things. It does not matter to a spider. We see here the principle of discretion. Discretion is the quality of behaving or speaking, speaking in such a way to avoid causing offense. Discretion. We can learn and become exceeding wise and learn from the spider this morning about discretion. The spider is not interested. She's not interested in climbing the social ladder. She's not interested in gossiping about others so that she can get the best corner in the palace. She's not even concerned about getting in the palace. It doesn't matter to her. Please don't. We learn about discretion from the spider. She doesn't brag, but she humbly does her own thing. And quietly does her thing. We see in Proverbs chapter 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We are to use discretion. To become exceeding wise, we need not to brag about it. When you see, especially in high school, you see someone walking like this, and they push others aside, and I got this, and I got that. And then you see them 20 years later as an adult at the parts house. Guess what? They walk in like this, and I got this, and I got that. And it's offensive. It's offensive. There's no discretion. We have to watch it ourselves. We don't want to offend people. When we offend people as Christians, we make a wall so that people might not hear what we have to say. We learn from the spider the principle of discretion, that we might humbly serve others and serve the Lord without causing offense. From the ant, we learn the principle and the attitude of diligence. From the coney, the principle and attitude of dependence. From the locust, the principle and attitude of duty. Finally, from the spider this morning, the principle or attitude of discretion. We're going to have an invitation. Jesus has a will. He has a desire for each and every one of us this morning. Every one of us, God has a desire for us. Number one, that is for us to be saved. And then number two, once we're saved, and that is to glorify Him, bring honor to Jesus Christ. If we're going to bring honor to Jesus Christ this morning, we've got to be wise. God give us head knowledge, but we got to be wise. And how many of us, we were at a Chinese takeout joint one time, Lori and I, and we were first going running around together. Now they had for sale good green tea. And over here is very good green tea for the same price. Who in the world would buy the good green tea if you can get the very good green tea for the same price? So with that said, how many of us want to be wise this morning as opposed to exceeding wise? I'd rather be exceeding wise. And the Bible says we can be exceeding wise if we look at these four creatures. That we be diligent like the ant. That we be ever so dependent upon Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, like the coney. That we have a sense of duty to do what God tells us to do, like the locust. And finally, that we have discretion. We treat others like we'd want to be treated. If any of us lack wisdom, we go to the Lord. The Lord's given us His Word. And we look at these animals this morning, the creatures of God, that we might be exceeding wise. Let's come to Him this morning and pray that He give us a new burden for the lost and that we can be wise and bring honor to Him. If you're here this morning, you know not Christ as your Savior, you do not know whether heaven is your home. Won't you come this morning and someone can show you how you can know that heaven is your home. What song are we going to sing? 342 this morning. If you'll stand, we'll sing 342, page 342.